Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to the Holtcast. Of course, Cole Pettum here as always, and we're diving right into an opposition match preview slash normal match preview. It's going to be a blend, of course. So we'll have a little bit of a kind of blurb from a Spurs fan that I spoke to for a few minutes the other day, and we'll just tie this into the preview. Of course, it's not just me. I don't think anyone wants to hear me go on about one game for 15 minutes. If you do, then I applaud you because I can't even handle my own voice for that long. But nonetheless, we do have a guest here, and that is Simon O'Regan. Simon, how you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. Much happier after I vented to you about the situation that happened that I won't speak about because I don't want to dig anybody out. But nonetheless, let's dive into this because, of course, Villa play Spurs at Villa Park on Sunday. And Simon, how are you feeling about this one? Because, I mean, we're talking about before we even went live for this. I mean, they're potentially crashing out them and Spurs to Dynamo Zagreb in the Europa League and to a hat trick, a wonderful hat trick, if I may mind myself. How do you feel about it? It's tricky, isn't it?
It is a tough one to call. I don't think either team are particularly consistent at the moment. I think, to be fair, I think Dean Smith has highlighted this in the last few press conferences that other than City and Chelsea, there's really no one that's been overly consistent in the last sort of 5-6 weeks. So it's a tough one. It is a tough one to call. I think Spurs, the fact that they've gone into extra time and they're playing away from home. I'm not sure exactly where in Europe this game has been played, but they have had to travel for this. So the extra time going out as well, as it looks like they're going to, with the travel back. Not sure exactly what state they're going to be in. And with us, we're just a bit hit and miss at the moment. So yeah, it's a difficult one to predict, I think, on Sunday.
Yeah, and I mean, literally at the point of recording, I think they're in the 114th or 15th minute right now, and they still have a full lineup. You're looking at Harry Kane, Lucas, Winks. I mean, I could go on, and of course, and it's evident to see they do have a decent squad nonetheless. So there's probably going to be some rotation, you'd imagine. You're going to imagine probably the likes of Bale coming in for this one. I don't know the status of Heung-min Son. I'm assuming he's going to miss out through injury, but I'm not exactly sure at this point in time. But nonetheless, they're still a very deep squad. And I mean, if you look at the Villa perspective, it's tricky to call. I mean, I guess we'll talk about it right now. Do we think Jack Grealish is going to play? Because, I mean, I almost feel like Crystal Palace. This must be how they feel when it's like Zaha or something like that, really, because it just feels like everything goes through him, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that sort of comparison, I agree and disagree with it in a weird way. I don't think we're as much of a one-man team as Palace are with Zaha. I think with Grealish and us in the Premier League, it's actually quite a small sample size, really, to look at results with and without him. I know like a lot of people are sort of looking at our results under Dean Smith with or without him, but a lot of those were in the Championship and the squad's completely different. I don't think we're as reliant as Palace on Zaha, but there's certainly no doubt that when he's missing, it does affect us. Obviously, it's going to affect us purely because of just how good a player he is. No one is going to be able to come in and replicate exactly what he does. And I think where we've maybe gone wrong a bit in the last few weeks is not tweaking the system to reflect the fact that he's not there. I think going in just and hoping that someone's going to do a light-for-light job is just not going to happen because of the difference in class between him and the rest of our squad. So I think that's something that I think Smith certainly needs to look at if he's not going to be available for the foreseeable. But I mean, I think you know as much as me on that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a tough one because, I mean, doing these before, you're always kind of trying to predict the future, of course, with any kind of preview to see, to maybe give some optimism. Maybe you're a little pessimistic. I'm just going to say it. I don't think he plays. I think it's just, it's another one of those things where you look at the whole championship run we had before that, and it got dragged out from week to week to week to week. And, oh, I'm coming back. Oh, I'm coming back. Oh, I'm coming back. I don't know. I just feel like we won't see him until after the international break at this point. So,
I think the fact that there's an international break coming up, and he's not been included in the squad announcement today, as you'd expect with him having been out for the last month. I'm with you. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him, and they'll hopefully use the next 2 weeks, no games to worry about, to just get him back to full fitness for the running after that.
Yeah, and I mean, like we were saying before we're recording, I mean, some people are kicking off on Twitter that he's not in the international setup, which is hilarious because he's been injured. So I don't really know what the expectation is there. Do you want him to sit in the stands to maybe cheer you on or like some questionable photos that have been circulating from time to time? But nonetheless, I mean, it doesn't always have to go through him. I mean, the one kind of positive for this one is it looks like we'll have Matty Cash in full flow and most likely starting, hopefully, you'd imagine. But I also wouldn't be shocked if Dean Smith still just kind of nurtures him and kind of brings him back in slowly. But I mean, we've talked about it with you, me, and Danny in the past, Simon, with who's more crucial. And of course we can always say Jack Grealish, but we've also touched upon how much Matty Cash just has changed that right hand side. So what do you think he brings to this game, particularly against Spurs, if he does start?
I think the biggest thing we've missed with him, as which sounds weird to say from a defender, but what he offers going forward, because I think, like, cards on the table, I am probably too big of a fan of El Mohamedy than I should be. Like, I do love Elmo, and I don't think in the main he's done that bad a job since he's come in, from a defensive point of view. That is okay. We've lost a couple of games. We haven't conceded. You know, we haven't. It's not like we've suddenly started shipping in goals left, right, and centre since he's come into the team. Excuse me, but I think Cash, what he offers going forward, Elmo just doesn't have that anymore. A few years ago, he did. He can offer you that going forward, but he just doesn't now. And Cash, he's so quick, but it's not just that he's quick, he's actually good as well. Obviously, we all know he started his career as a more forward player. It's only the last year or two he's played in defence. So I think that has sort of affected us, especially with, if Traore is playing out there on the right-hand side of a front three, being left-footed, he's naturally going to come in. And that's where Cash on the overlap offers a big outlet going forward, which we just haven't had in the last few games. So I'd expect to see him back. I think this week would suggest that he was fit. And I just think we probably thought we don't need him to beat Newcastle. We'd just give him another week. But I'd expect him back in on Saturday, something rather, especially as I think his pace will help us if, like, Son is back for Tottenham, for example. I'd feel a lot more comfortable with Cash out there than Elmo up against Son.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that's kind of sad about Elmo is I love the way he crosses the ball, and we've seen so many goals in the past come from that. I just wish we'd see one more before he leaves, so hopefully it happens eventually. It'd be a good send-off. I mean, if anyone wants to get him on the back of their shirt as well, that would be a cool tribute as well. But nonetheless, that guys, we'll move over to the opposition preview right now, and with the Spurs fan, and we'll be back in a moment. Ricky, how you doing?
I'm not bad, Cole. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all. But of course, so let's dive right into it, of course, because we need to get this show on the road. So with Spurs' season so far, Ricky, how have you found it? Of course, there's been, I guess, a little bit of up and down, but where do you sit with it all?
Yeah, it's been a difficult season, to be honest with you, Cole. Listen, Spurs were top of the league over Christmas, over December for a period. And it just seems to have all gone wrong for Spurs, Jose Mourinho. A lot of factors maybe going into that. You look at maybe some of Spurs' injuries they've had, but I think more than anything, you know, Spurs have struggled to find a rhythm. They've struggled to find a consistent 11. Jose has chopped and changed the team on numerous occasions. And I think, like any club, if you want to be among the top echelons in the league and going for the Premier League title in general, you have to have a settled team. And it just hasn't quite been like that for Tottenham. The mentality hasn't been there. I just think they haven't got the depth of the squad really to compete at the top of the Premier League. But I've got to say, I've been frustrated by Spurs's, how would I word this? I think their approach to games has been very difficult to bear at times. I think Spurs are better as an attacking unit than they are sitting back. And I think, you know, Villa are one of those sides that have got real attacking flair. So it'll be very interesting to see how Spurs set up against Aston Villa, because I think it will be quite an entertaining game on the eye. And I'll be interested to see how Spurs approach that from their perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a tough one to call for us. We still don't really know if Jack Grealish will play. And with how we've been playing of late, we're kind of short of ideas. And in my opinion, I think we're running out of gas right now. And it's just one of those cases where we might be one of those teams every year that has a thin squad and can't really cope near the end. But that's still yet to be seen. But nonetheless, on the Spurs side of things here, I have a few friends that are Spurs fans, and they always point to your defense kind of being the one area that they hope, especially this summer, might need a little bit of sorting out. Do you agree with that statement at all? Or do you think there's other areas that are more important?
Yeah, no, definitely defensively. We're not strong enough. I think that's very, very clear. I think it'll be interesting to see, like I say, how we go into the summer, because I think what Spurs are after more than anything is, I would say they're after a transformative defender. And what I mean by that is they need somebody along the likes of, and I say, you know, you look at Man City, who they've obviously picked up in previous windows. They've gone out and identified a key target, brought them in, and they've made a difference to the team. I think Spurs just haven't got that defender at the moment. Obviously, they've had Alvarez and Vertonghen for quite a long period. Alvarez not the same defender without Jan Vertonghen. Jan, unfortunately, his legs went towards the end of his Spurs career. And Spurs, you know, we've never really addressed that. You know, we've got Eric Dier, Davinson Sanchez. For me, they're not quite up to it. I think for Spurs to really move forward as a club, they need to find themselves once again a solid centre-back pairing. And I've probably gone along the lines of saying, we don't need just one defender, I think we probably need two. And that's before you look at the situation at right-back, where Matt Doherty, not been a great start for him at Spurs. I mean, Wolves, to be fair, maybe he's become such a bigger step-up where he just can't handle it. That's a big concern. And then, Serge Aurier. Serge, like I say, seems to always have a mistake in him. But we also have got an issue about trying to keep him fit at the moment. So definitely there's a lot of room to improve, I suppose, in the summer when it comes to signings. But obviously the question will be, because we're in a pandemic, whether that money's there to improve that team with the amount Spurs need to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if we just turn our focus back to the game here for a quick little bit, I mean, from your perspective, if you look at this Villa team right now, and especially how we're playing, is there one or two aspects you'd look at and say, you know what, that's where we can focus and that's where we can have success?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, I've got to say, I mean, Villa have really impressed me this season. They really, really have. I've been impressed by the way Villa have approached games with a freedom and with a belief that they can go into every game looking to get 3 points. I mean, listen, it's Premier League's never easy. It's the toughest league in the world. But I think Villa have been a breath of fresh air this season for the Premier League. And I'd probably say, you know, bar Tottenham, they're one of the teams I like to watch on the eye. They've got some really good players. Of course, Jack Grealish being the main one. But they've got some exciting players there. So I think we'll be in for a tough, tough game against Aston Villa for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Daniel Levy is definitely wishing that deal for Josh Onoma and the, I think, 20-odd million or whatever it was not too long ago went through now.
Yeah, the famous deal, that's true. Yeah,
for sure. But of course, one more thing, actually, before we get to score predictions and wrap this portion up. When you look at Spurs, of course, and I think you had 7 wins in all competitions in a row, and then, of course, the loss to Arsenal, and I mean any derby games just to complete. Yeah. It's an unknown, but nonetheless, do you think you guys are kind of picking up form when most need at the end of the season? Where do you see yourself finishing?
Honestly, Joe Cole, I wouldn't sit there and say we're picking up form. I mean, I just think Spurs have been in different form all season. Wouldn't surprise me if Tottenham go and beat Aston Villa. Also wouldn't surprise me if we go and lose the game. So, yeah, I mean, I'd be very difficult to try and predict Tottenham's season is where it's going to finish. I don't think we'll finish top four. And of course, we've got the League Cup final to come in the last stages of Europa League as well. I would say Spurs are going to probably finish sixth, maybe sixth. I don't think they'll get top four. I think the teams that are above us have got too much quality. and will go on a run. And I don't think Spurs have got the quality to be able to go on a sustained run, even though they've obviously had a, not a bad run in the league. But like you saw that Arsenal game, you know, there's always a situation where Spurs don't seem to show up. And I think between now and the end of the season, there's far too many games where we'd be relying on ourselves to perform. And I don't think Spurs can do that, unfortunately.
Fair enough. And I guess right before we wrap things up, like I previously said, could I get a score prediction from you, please?
You may, Cole. I'm going to go for 1-1. I don't think Spurs have the quality to beat, but I think Villa are a good side. I think Villa will frustrate. So I'm going to go for the 1-1.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, we're kind of in that pendulum swing where last year we couldn't literally draw anything, and this year we're playing like absolute crap at times and still getting draws. So you know what, I'll match it as well. I'll go 1-1. But yeah, of course, Ricky, if there's anywhere that you want to plug right now, feel free to do so.
Yeah, well, of course, we're the Last Word on Spurs. We're on Twitter at Last Word on Spurs. We're on Facebook and Instagram too. We're across every major audio platform, iTunes, Spotify, like I say, Acast, anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find us. And I know you're going to very kindly, Cole, also be doing us a preview on our show. So we look forward to hearing that.
Absolutely. Perfect. Well, thank you for your time, Ricky. Of course, great chatting with you. And yeah, back to the regular portion of the podcast. Okay, and we're back just for, I guess, a little bit more, and then we'll wrap things up here on the preview pod. Of course, hopefully you guys are enjoying this, but nonetheless, I guess the one thing I guess we can almost finish on before we go to score predictions, Simon, for you, I guess I've already given mine when I spoke to Ricky, the Spurs fan, so it'd be pointless probably to repeat that for myself, but I guess the one thing when we look at this game in particular, and I was talking with Ricky about this, I think Spurs, of course, before Arsenal had 7 wins on the bounce in all competitions, and then of course the derby game's just completely unpredictable. And then, of course, we still don't know the outcome, which I imagine we're going to say they're going to lose this one too. So it's 2 losses on the bounce. What do you expect from them on Sunday? Do you think they're going to come out kind of fit and firing and looking for some, I wouldn't say revenge, but looking to atone some of those mistakes? Or do you think this is a kind of opportunity for Villa to catch them kind of off track? And you know what, maybe this is another big scalp we can add to the already impressive season.
I think it's definitely an opportunity for Villa to pick up 3 points. I mean, it certainly won't be easy, but I think I said on the when we were doing the show after the Newcastle game of the night that we tend to raise our performance depending on the opposition that we've got. But Tottenham, they're kind of, they were on a decent winning streak before the game against Arsenal. But if you actually look at who they were playing, they hadn't really played anyone great. I think 2 of them were in the Europa League, which they've now just gone out of. And the 3 Premier League wins in a row were against Burnley, Fulham and Crystal Palace. So, do you know that it's, they weren't overly tested, shall we say, in those games. And I'd like to think that we'll offer a sterner test than they will. When you looked at them against Arsenal on the weekend, who, you know, Arsenal have been nothing but a mid-table team all season, and Arsenal dominated that game from start to finish. It was maybe, it's only the last 5 minutes when Spurs sort of had nothing to lose, really, that they actually had a bit of a go. So I think a lot depends on if Jack is available, which I think we both think he won't be. But even if he's not, there's no reason why Villa shouldn't go into that game confident. When you look at some of the results we've had against some teams this season, performance that we have pulled in, okay, it's not been brilliant lately, but I don't think they're anything special. I think they've got a couple of special players in Kane and Son, but I don't know if Son will be fit for that. But they're more than beatable team. I mean, there's a reason they're only one place above us in the league. It's because they've been as inconsistent as we have been. So I certainly don't think we should be going into that game fearing them or, you know, trying to play for a draw or anything. We should be going to try and win that game, definitely.
Yeah, 100%. And I think you said it, I think maybe it was post-Newcastle as well, where you said, you know what, like, we actually do play better against teams that we probably shouldn't play that well against, and then maybe your traditional top 6 and all that kind of stuff. So you know what, it's one of those games. We'll see what happens. I think some people will probably read into it and the negativity online because we're not in like Champions League spots or in fifth place right now is just through the roof, unrealistically stupid in my mind. I mean, just people have to put things in perspective and kind of realize how far we've come. And this is just another step. And you know what? There's going to be some stumbles and fumbles along the way. There always is. So I don't really know what people are expecting. But nonetheless, Simon, before we wrap things up here, could I get your score prediction, please?
I'm going to go for 2-1 Villa. I'm going to say Ollie Watkins, buoyed by the Callerton England squad today, will get back on the goal trail. So yeah, 2-1 Villa.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I went with 1-1. That's all I'll say on that. But I you know what? I'll take a pointer. I'll take three. As long as we don't put another loss on the board, I'll be more than happy. But anyways, guys, we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much to Simon for joining me. If you want to find him on Twitter, it's at Cy O'Regan. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Talk Aston Villa. You can tweet the team at 7500 Holt. Email the podcast, holtcast@gmail.com. Hopefully a positive result on Sunday, and we'll be back, I'm imagining, Sunday evening, and then you'll hear it on Monday for hopefully a positive review. I'm tired of being a little bit pessimistic. So hopefully a little bit of turnaround and fortune can lead us into another good week, and another good week leads to less of a pandemic annoyance. But anyways, I'll leave it there, and don't forget the Villa.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.